Hi, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Well, we have an audience all over the world, and we hear from them all the time. So to satisfy the international clientele of EWABS, we're bringing in somebody from way across the pond, award-winning British voice actor Jay Britton. He's a great voice actor who does commercials, and he has a specialty in character voices, and he'll be staying up till 2 a.m. to join us.
What a guy, I'll tell you. I'm going to have questions that you guys have sent in. We've got quite a stream of questions that are always flooding in, and so I'll be addressing those along with Dan's help. So if you have one for the show, Dan, where do they send it?
They send it to ewabshop@gmail.com. And in my tip of the week, George and I are going to have this continuing argument about what's better, headphones or monitors. So I have my thing on monitors.
So if you want to join us, please be here live. You can be here in the chat room with us, which is a lot of fun. And you can...
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East-West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Well, another week goes by. This is episode 170 of East-West Audio Body Shop.
Yeehaw!
And we could not have done it without our wonderful sponsors. So we have to recognize them right now because they're wonderful people. Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Essentials. VoiceOver, Edge Studio are one of our newest sponsors. VoiceAm, a great product. By the way, Bob's offering a special for you folks who are Ewabians and Wovoians and stuff. So make sure you go to the VoiceAm link on our webpage. And, of course, VoiceOver Extra for all the latest VoiceOver news. Speaking of which, not a lot of news out there, but... interesting to note that we'll talk a little bit about the news. Also, it's the holiday season, and of course, you know, Christmas is coming up next week. We won't be here next week because we want to celebrate Christmas and the whole week with our families, or actually at least have the time to have some time with families. Tomorrow night is the Festival of Lights. It's the first night of Hanukkah. Now, last night I was the host for a Christmas concert. For the Legion Band of the Tonawandas, which I've mentioned before.
Yes, you have.
Great, great brass band. And there were some, you know, I get up there and I'm like, you know, welcome to the show. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. You know, if you're celebrating Hanukkah starting Tuesday night, what are you doing here? which got a good laugh. And then, of course, noticing the fact that most of the great classic American Christmas songs were written by Jews. So
Irving Berlin.
Irving Berlin. The Santa Baby was written by Joan Javits, the daughter of Senator Jacob Javits. People wouldn't realize these things. These are the things you find when you become the MC of a brass band.
I love it. The gigs you get as a voice actor.
That's exactly. It's a lot of fun. Anyway. Time for
time now to take a look at the news. EWABS News.
Not a whole heck of a lot going on in the news. However, the biggest story this week, I guess it refers to voice actors, is cans for cans. Bennstown Radio Productions, for each can for cans hashtag, that's hashtag cans for cans hashtag, posted with your picture wearing cans, they will donate a can of food. Now, how many cans are they up to now?
I don't know. I last I looked this morning, they were at like 480. So that's not bad. 480 cans of food. That's a pretty big trip to Costco.
Yeah, really.
So I don't know how they're doing it, but they're doing it.
So everybody, every one of you, and I know there's at least about 50 of you watching the show right now. Each and every one of you, when you're done with the show, grab your headphones, take a picture of yourself, you know, with your iPhone or something.
Selfie time.
And selfie it and send it to Cans for Cans so we can feed the hungry. Because that's what you do, not only this time of year, you should be doing it every day.
That's right. What do I got going on? Oh, Widom's World will be my little corner of the internet. It's going to be at the NAMM show again. And this time I've got an actual media badge. So I don't have to coattail it in with a company. I'm actual media, which is really cool because they won't be hassling me as I walk in the door with all my equipment, which has not been very easy in the last year or two. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And I get two passes. So I'm going to bring our trusty friend and podcast producer for our show, Lee Pinney. And he's going to be able to operate camera for me, which is going to be a huge change pace for me because I get to now be on camera and interview people. So that should be a lot of fun. That happens the third full week of January. So the coverage will roll out the week or two following. So hope to have the coolest stuff from the show, as always, that pertains to voice actors, some stuff for everybody, and some stuff for the well-heeled voice actor.
Yeah. And of course, all those folks that are selling this stuff who are so exciting to listen to.
Right.
Some a few more than others.
It depends on the cup. Some of them are better than others, indeed. Yes. Yes.
So pick and choose, or at least you record all of them and go, well, I don't know about this guy, but you know, give him like 10 seconds of stuff and he can, you know, as long as he explains his product well.
Well, this time I'm going to actually do the interviews on camera, so I think I'll be able to steer it slightly and maybe direct it into the voiceover world instead of saying, this mic's great on drum overheads, which usually happens.
Like, boy, voice actors really care. What? If I'm going,
exactly. Do you want to take the first question?
I will.
Oh, that's the end of the news. Sorry, I forgot.
Oh, yes, you have to run the...
And that's a look at the EWABS news.
There we go.
Thank you. All right. Time for a little Q&A here in East West Audio Body Shop. And if you have a question for us, you know, on technical stuff or industry jargon or, you know, your latke recipe, you know, we, you know, throw it on to ewabshop@gmail.com. 170 episodes, and I finally remembered the email. Eventually, I'm going to.
We could have come up with an easier, a more logical email address. When you start a show like this, you're like, we got to come up with an email address. You know?
Then that's what you came up with.
And that's what came
E-Web up. Shop. Yeah. All right, our first question tonight comes from Kate Marson, and the subject is a delay in headphones. Hey guys, pretty new voiceover actor here. I recently purchased all the equipment for my home studio, and surprisingly, was able to set everything up. The only issue that I'm having is that I'm only able to hear myself in my headphones with a delay. I'm using Audacity, a Scarlett 2i2 Blue Bell mic. I think it's probably a Blue Bird mic. I tried to fix in Audacity checking software playthrough box and changing audio to buffer to 2, so now I can hear, but with delay. Help, thanks. Okay. Couple of things here, Kate, and I know you're out there somewhere because I told you we'd use this question this week. First off, who are you listening to? It always surprises me. You know, to me, and of course, we'll talk a little bit more about this in our Widom's World, or in my tip of the week a little bit later on when we're talking about studio monitors. There's no need to really be listening to yourself, in my humble opinion. The only reason anyone should be wearing headphones is to hear direction from a director on a remote, if you're on an ISDN or Source Connect or IPDTL from the islands. Or if you're actually in a studio. But to me, wearing cans, as much as we love to have them, does that sell any more cans? The only reason to wear cans is to hear a director. Or to hear if you're singing or something and you got to, You have to sync up with the music. It's an in-studio thing. In radio, it was a tradition to wear headphones because when you would flick the mic switch, it would shut off the studio monitors so you wouldn't get feedback and drive your audience away. Although several times I set up a few feedback loops, which is why my hearing has a slight deficit today for many years ago. Like just like that. You really don't need to be listening to yourself. A lot of people, you know, they listen to themselves, but you're not getting a true representation of your voice listening to yourself in headphones. The delay is what we call, George?
Delay is latency. Yes, latency. The latency is being caused by the fact that you're listening to what's been already recorded by the computer, and it's being spit back into your headphones. So the first thing you definitely want to do if you really want to wear headphones is uncheck that software playthrough box. Then, what's that switch on the front of the 2i2, Dan, since you have one sitting really close to you? What does that say?
It says direct monitor, on and off.
Right. Turn that switch on.
Right.
Turn it on, and you'll hear yourself.
Right. I could probably do that now too, but it'll be hooked up to my other mic, so it'll be sounding like it's far away.
Right.
Yeah, but on the 2i2, it works actually pretty well. There's very, very low latency.
I like that it's just an on-off switch. You know, the older M-boxes had a balance knob, sort of a blend control. And you always had to go turn it all the way to the left, turn it all the way to the right, you know, back and forth. You know, for simplicity's sake, for our needs, since we're not overdubbing with music, on and off works brilliantly.
Yes. So it shouldn't be a problem, Kate. First off, try just listening to yourself in the environment in which you're recording yourself, and try not to listen to yourself while you're actually recording. Of course, I love the people who love to watch the waveform while they're recording. I don't quite get that one.
Yeah. Well, that's distracting. That's like downhill skiing on skis that are three times longer than they need to be. You know, just for the extra challenge or something.
Really? Well, probably pretty easy for the turning. But...
All right. The next one came in from Andy Arndt. She says, I'm considering going from MacBook Pro to two iPads in the booth, one to mirror my DAW outside the booth and one for scripts. I also want to change mic booms. I have a Neumann TLM-102 because my desktop stand makes it tough to place it right where I want it. Since I work in a studio bricks, just wondering what's going to make sense, space-wise. Wondering if I can use clamp fixtures and a tension rod that goes floor to ceiling. Any ideas? Well, I'll tell you right off the bat, having gotten to finally assemble one, and it was actually yours, Andy, at Voice Atlanta. So I know that booth very well. I have the blood blister to prove it. The tension rod will absolutely not work without some serious modification because the tension rod squeezes between the floor and the ceiling, with pressure. And with the studio bricks, the ceiling is held on. Actually, the whole thing is basically held together with gravity. So if you use a tension rod to push the ceiling is going to pop off. So definitely don't use a tension rod between the floor and the ceiling. You could use a tension rod from wall to wall. You could get one of those adjustable shower curtain style rods that you can adjust the length of and go from side to side and clamp stuff onto that. Because it sounds like you might be concerned about drilling holes in the walls. Normally, I would just attach my mount to the wall and just screw it into the wall. But with the booth that pretty, I can understand if you don't really want to do that. You could just use a tension rod across the booth and try that. And then you could clamp things onto that. What do you think, Dan?
Well, I don't understand why using the two iPads. You know, I mean, one to mirror my DAW outside the booth and one for scripts.
One's a remote control. One's a really fancy remote. So it's just letting her start and stop recording on her DAW, which she didn't tell us what DAW it is. So it's probably Pro Tools because she didn't want to admit.
Right. Or it might be might be Twisted Wave.
It could be Twisted Wave. And if it's Twisted Wave, there's actually an app for the iPad that's specifically for remote controlling
Right.
Twisted Wave. So I can get that. I guess that makes sense to do the dual eye pants.
I'm always of the opinion, and of course I'm, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm right. And I know there's not a whole lot of room in a studio, Bricks. I have found that connecting anything to a wall, although I've never experienced what it's like in a studio, Bricks, and I know those are very well made and they sound pretty good. Fixing things to walls in studios may not be in a booth. It may not be a good idea because you will still get vibration through there, even if you've got a shock mount. So I have found usually if you've got some sort of humming noise or some sort of vibration, using a mic stand with a metal stand on the floor does a whole heck of a lot to prevent, lots of vibration noise getting to the microphone.
I'd say, I've worked in a lot of these little teeny ISO booths, and the problem with that is that, first of all, it's crowded, so you're a lot more likely to trip on the thing. And it does pick up any little foot movement because the floor is sort of floating in space.
Right.
And so I haven't gotten to deal with a lot of studio bricks, getting to modify them and add pieces on. Whisper rooms, I've actually had good success with mounting a wall bracket directly to the wall and putting a mic on the wall. So far it's worked out pretty well. But I don't know. I kind of like the idea of using a tension rod from wall to wall. And going that route, because then no screws in the wall, and then you can clamp all kinds of stuff to that thing. And
but not too tight, because you'll just pop the thing apart.
Well, yeah, it's the way it goes together. It kind of locks the walls together. They shouldn't pop out side to side. Right. They're a lot more likely to pop up. The roof's a lot more likely to pop off. But that's a good question. Tension rod, good idea, but don't go floor to ceiling. You might have some things might start flying apart.
Yeah. So, Andy, when you finish that project, let us know what worked best.
Yeah, we'd love to get feedback on what we said, how crazy we were, and what worked for you.
Yeah. And then we got a voicemail, which was translated very badly by Google Voice.
Yes, it was.
Okay. But it had to do about cheap shotgun mics.
Let's see if I can play that.
Now, do you have to?
It's do you want me to, what? Or no?
No, you really don't have to.
Okay.
The question was really just about cheap shotgun mics. If you're going to go on the road, what's a cheap shotgun mic to take? And I take my 416 with me because it comes in a great little carry case, and it's really fabulous for when you're on the road. And it's designed to do exactly that. It's a video mic that was designed to travel with a bunch of, gearheads with their video equipment and stuff. So, if you're looking for cheap,
this
I'm going to
go right
back
here.
To another question. Yeah.
This is the AT-875R.
I hear that's an excellent microphone.
That's what you're hearing me on now. And it was a grand whopping $170.
Wow.
And while it will not reject quite as much background noise as a 416, because it's not quite as directional, it gives you about 80% of the 416 mojo for about 20% of the price. So if you're looking for something really inexpensive, this is a great way to, great way to start.
Right. You know, and Rode makes, was it the NT2A?
NTG 1 and 2 and 3.
Right.
Yeah. The cheap one is the 1 and the 2. Yeah.
Right. There's small shotgun mics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, try a couple. I've got my 416, which works great in my booth. So
Get a used 416. I mean, if you have a budget that extends into the $400 to $500 range, pick up a used 416 or 415, the older generation. They still work beautifully. A 415T, which is the T powered ones, can be had for sometimes around $400. And, it's not as cheap as the AT, but it's still an actual Sennheiser 415, yep. 416. Yep. Sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Well, enough tech talk for now, at least for another minute or so. If you've got a question for us like these, our address again is ewabshop@gmail.com. Only one S. ewabshop@gmail.com. we will be happy to answer those questions on the air. That's what this show is all about. So we want your input. We want to hear what you guys want to know about so we can blather on incessantly about it. And to bring that to a close,
And speaking of, and speaking of tea powered, our guest is sipping his tea right now. So, oh yes,
yes, we have a very special guest tonight. We're going to get to him in just a few minutes, but we have a tip of the week coming up to start off and hopefully settle an argument right after this.
Not going to happen.
Away. Oh, yeah.
You're listening to East West Audio Body Shop.
Dad?
Yeah, honey?
When you watch East West Audio Body Shop, why do you keep hitting your forehead?
And why do you keep yelling WTF?
And what does WTF even mean?
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Yeah, that's what it means.
I think you made that up.
Girls, just go do your homework. Right now I'm watching George and Dan on EWABS.
Okay.
Alrighty, we have returned. Now, a question was thrown out by, I don't know, somebody we all respect. We won't say her name, but and you can tell how much everybody likes this person because every expert on the face of the technical world felt they had to jump in on Facebook and say, well, here's the answer to that question.
Including myself.
Including Mr. Whittem. The question was, do I get studio monitors or just really good headphones? And the majority were not with you, George.
I know.
I mean, I had to chime in and say, look, I've been well. Yeah, Jay's pointing to his headphones, but if you really want to hear the audio as it was recorded, with the proper frequency separation and all that kind of stuff, nothing beats a good pair of studio monitors. If you're wearing headphones, you're not really hearing yourself. True on, you know.
Should I play the video?
Yeah, I'll play the video. So, how do you monitor? So how do you monitor your audio? This is probably one of the biggest arguments in the business. Should you wear headphones or should you listen on computer speakers, listen on whatever it is the end user is going to be using? This is the way I look at it. You want to be able to hear exactly what it is you recorded. And the best way to do that is with studio monitors. They are what is called close field monitors. And what that means is you don't sit far away from them. You sit very close to them, probably within 2 to 3 feet.
Specialty fixtures. It wouldn't be the photography industry if there wasn't a light for just about any purpose.
Okay. So as you hear, they deliver back exactly what it is I recorded. But they have to be set up properly in your studio and next to your computer. The area you work in, your workstation, they should be about at ear level, and they should both be about 30 degrees of an angle towards your ears. So you're sitting about like that. But also, the room has to be somewhat dampened in order for them to sound true as well, because you want to hear it back in the acoustics in which pretty much you recorded them in, or at least a neutral room where you won't have it bouncing all over the place. A lot of people make the mistake of using studio monitors in a room that's very reflective and then thinking they've got all sorts of room reflection, when in reality it's just where the room they're listening to them in. So why don't I like headphones? I don't know, probably the same reason I don't like squash. It always sounds so good the way people describe it until I taste it. For you squash lovers, I'm really sorry. The problem with headphones is they don't really have the power to really give you the true reproduction that you require. Plus, they're playing little games with the acoustics in your head, and I find unless you have a really good, expensive pair of headphones, like George does, it's not going to help you that much. The studio monitors work much better. I mean, just listen to this.
Using this lens, you can focus the projected beam of light. These spots are coveted by filmmakers and photo experts.
See, it's a little bit more thin. So that's my tip of the week. Studio monitors. Doesn't really matter which brand, just not really cheap ones. And that settles that matter once and for all. But
bollocks.
Well, I mean, now I understand your point on this. Now that you say that, you know, you've got to have the acoustics in the room have to be right. If you're at a workstation that is different from the spot that you're recording in, the room that you listen to your studio monitors on should also be acoustically fairly neutral, right?
You know, within reason. Yeah, I mean, the best that you can do. I mean, bringing the monitors in close helps negate the room effects. That's why we like near field monitors. Closer the better. In fact, I have a pair of near fields on my desk. I'm touching both of them right now. My arms are touching both speakers. That's how close they are.
As are mine.
Yeah, that's how close they should be.
They're, you know, now you see what an incredible mess my office is.
But, oh well, you know, while we're at it.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. All right.
So here's Here's one on this side.
Hey, you got an RE20 line over there.
Yeah. Well, it's still laying over there. That's D. Snyder's. Remember that dirty mic? It's still there.
I think it was there last time I was in there.
Yeah. So let's see here. Got my fancy A-clamp in there. So, when they're placed close enough, they work great. I think if you trust your environment and you trust your sound and your what to expect. You don't have to worry too much about noise floor. I tend, because of my point of view, is I'm listening from a more clinical kind of analytical point of view. I don't have a quiet room like you have. It's not as quiet as yours. My Mac is in my room. I know yours is too, but mine, I don't know, it's noisier. I'm just in a noisier location and I'm having to listen to people's noise floor all the time. And I just can't get what I want out of the monitors in regards to rejecting the noise floor. Like they're close enough that I can get the direct feed, so it negates the room acoustics a bit. But when I really want to hear what's going on at the bottom end, the low frequency range, it's hard to do with the studio monitors. And these headphones I'm using, which are the Beyerdynamic DT770s, have almost flat. They're not perfectly flat at the top, but at the bottom end, they're almost perfectly flat all the way down to like past 20 hertz. So I get samples all the time for people that have plosives in them, and they have no idea there's popping. But in my headphones, I hear boom, boom, these thumps that nobody else is going to hear in their little two-way speakers. So I pick up certain things other people may not pick up. But yeah, I get that the speakers are more natural reproduction. And I don't know, man, I've gone both ways because I've told people that if you can have both, because wearing headphones all day long is fatiguing. It's tiring on your ears to wear headphones all day. And I have to be really careful about what volume I set my headphones to. Because if I don't, I'm going to have ringing ears at the end of the day. So, trust your environment, trust your ears. And if you have speakers, use them as much as you can. But when you really have to get into the analytical stuff, listening for little tiny mouth noises, sometimes headphones might be better for some of you.
Right. But it's personal choice, which is really the great thing about our business is we're artists. We can do things the way we want.
It's our own studio. It's a personal studio. Do whatever you want.
Yes. Well, coming up in just a couple of minutes, we are going to be traveling across the pond. Well, at least you know, our wires are, or maybe it goes by satellite. I have no idea where how these things work. But we've got a great guest coming who has graciously stayed up exceedingly late. As we say, he's GMT minus 5 here in the East and GMT minus 8 on the West Coast. It's like 2:30 in the morning there.
At least.
Jay Britton's going to join us from his sick bed in just a minute. So don't go away. We'll have a great time with him in just a minute.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, George has set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
George and Dan. EWABS. They make our lives so much easier.
Oh, crap. What's wrong now?
And we're back here at East West Audio Body Shop. Hopefully nothing's wrong right now. Joining us from over the pond, over the big ocean, from Great Britain, from the British Isles, Jay Britton, welcome and good morning.
I was going to say, is it good morning or good evening? I suppose it's both.
It's just good evening here. It's good morning to you. And
good
and
evening.
Thanks. I know you've been a little under the weather today, so we really appreciate you coming on and sharing some time with us here on East West Audio Body Shop.
That's right. My absolute pleasure. And thank you very, very much for having me.
Well, this is the first time we've actually talked to a foreigner.
A foreigner.
Yes. Now you're an award-winning voice actor in Great Britain, and you do a lot of interesting stuff. But our standard number one question here for over 170 episodes is, how did you get started in voiceover? Because it's got to be a slightly different story from the thousands of people who watch our show right now.
Yeah. So I don't know how dissimilar it's going to be. Really, I guess I had. I think for most people I speak to, I had what I call my false start and then my real start into voiceover, if that makes sense. So I was working in IT in London, very bored, and decided it was finally time to go after that childhood dream I had back in school and doing all those silly, funny voices that got me into trouble when I was in school. So I kind of looked up on the internet, you know, how do you get started in voiceover? And as I now know, searching for something like that on the internet is a little bit of a minefield in terms of what advice you find and what you get back. So I ended up going to sort of a voiceover masterclass and came away from that with a demo and a profile on voice123.com. And now looking back, I know that was very much a false start. Not through any fault of the guy who ran the masterclass, but the demo wasn't what I now know is competitive. Voice123 is but one channel into voiceover. Didn't have a really good home studio setup and didn't know that I really needed one of those to get going properly and professionally. Because the thing was with me, I wanted to get to the top. I didn't want to sort of have voiceover as a hobby. I wanted to be doing Pixar movies and the top video games. So I guess I kind of dabbled for two and a bit years, not really getting very far. And then it was my wife, bless her, the absolute
rock in my story. We'd kind of just moved into our final family home, if you like. I was, for all intents and purposes, successful in life, but miserable because I wasn't doing voiceover. And she just sat me down one night, and I'd been talking about going out to LA to do new demos and really get started and stuff. And she just said, look, will you stop bloody moaning and get on a plane and go to LA already? So that's what I did. I had another look at the industry and went, right, if I really want to make it, what do I really, really need to do? So I started training with Nancy Wolfson for commercials, primarily for commercials. I mean, she does everything because she's a bit of a genius, but primarily she was my commercial coach. And then I trained with Richard Horvitz for animation, who was amazing. I mean, just to get to talk to a guy like Richard Horvitz for me, and a kind of an animation geek, was fantastic. And training with him over Skype was a phenomenal experience. And then I trained with, well, then I sorted going out to LA to do my new demos with the inimitable Chuck Duran. And while I was out in LA, I trained, I had sort of one session with Rob Paulson, who again, that was a childhood hero of mine.
Gee, whizzikers.
Yeah, I was sat in my hotel room for 2 hours talking, with this guy from the Animaniacs. And it was very, very odd. Very, very surreal. And then I recorded my demos out in LA with Chuck and came back home again. And that's when I kind of put the pedal on the floor, really. And that was only really the beginning of this year. I got my home studio in January, very end of December 2013. And that's when I just went, right, foot to the floor, let's go. Went out and did this thing in LA and got my new demos, and that's when I started pushing it, really, and thankfully the work has come in.
Yeah, I'd say it sounds like you're driving a Ferrari the way you were able to put your foot to the floor on this, because you've been able, you obviously took the right path in talking to and working with the best coaches, in Hollywood, that really set you straight. But they obviously saw you had talent, or they wouldn't even talk to you. So it's good that you were able to be forward about it and say, hey, I want to work with you. And they were like, hey, we think you have talent. And obviously that must have been a great confidence builder for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny. I mean, you kind of hit the exact point of the decision I made I kind of made two decisions that I think made the biggest impact. And the first was, if I want to get to a very, very good standard, I want to work with the best people I possibly can. Yes, they're expensive. And that kind of links into the second decision I made, which was, if I went to university in England, for example, to become a doctor or, a profession, I could spend 30, 40, 50,000 pounds on university fees. So why?
That's about 100,000, folks.
Yeah. Six figures. So I kind of made the same decision of, well, why shouldn't I be prepared to invest in a business which I'm starting up? So, I viewed all of these expenses of going to LA and training with Nancy and getting demos with Chuck as an investment. I've earned that money back, but it's very daunting at the beginning to take on that level of risk. But, it's just that mindset of, it was an investment. It wasn't a holiday or, just a bit of fun over the pond. It was an investment in a business. And that was kind of the two decisions I made that seemed to have made a bit of a difference.
I would say, well, you were working with the absolute best there, and clearly it's helped you out. Now, what type of work do you normally do? Commercial work, character work? I mean, is it falling across the gamut?
Yeah, it does pretty much, I guess, probably... Maybe 60% is character voices, and then 30. I could try. You make me try and do maths now at 3 o'clock in the morning. 60% is character. About 30% is corporate. A lot of corporate work, and maybe 10% commercials. Depends. Kind of. It changes from month to month, but that's a rough spread.
Right. And trust me, we know that the majority of the work is in corporate and e-learning and things like that. There's tremendous amounts of opportunity there. Yeah. And when you get the commercial stuff, you go, that's good. I'll take it.
Thanks very much.
But give me the lunch pail work and let me pay my rent every month. That's the most important thing. Yeah. Now, You know, have you been doing like, you know, cartoons or animation, or if it's, has it been character work for commercials or what?
Again, a bit of a mix, really. Most of the character, most of the character stuff I've been doing has been for video games. So a lot of video games. I'm probably doing, in the last couple of months, at least probably one video game a week. And they range from, you know, very, very sort of small developers, you know, on an iPhone or whatever, up to the bigger studios. And yeah, a lot of animation stuff. There's something I'm yet to announce, but I'm the online voice for a celebrity who's doing the TV series version. I do the online version of the same program, which has been a lot of fun. But that'll be, I can say more about that next week. so that's been a lot of fun, and that's all. That's very that is a cartoon series. And yeah, I just did a commercial for a horrible bath product, where you pour in this powder into your kid's bath and it turns it into like stretchy gel. Yeah.
Wow, total utilitarian usage there.
Yeah, fill your children's bath full of chemicals. And that had a character voice in it for the monster that comes out of this squishy gel. So yeah, it kind of turns up anywhere and everywhere, really.
Oh God, that sounds totally gross.
Yeah.
Now I have a lot of friends in Great Britain who are in voiceover, and you know, it's I don't want to say it's different over there. Now you've had the experience, of course, of coming over and really seeing the LA scene and seeing what that's like, and what the American voiceover market is like. What are your perceptions and how things are a little different in England? Obviously not as many people, but you know, a very rich tradition over there and a lot of broadcasting and obviously a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's exactly the same and very different all at the same time. I think, I mean, you're absolutely right. There's a very big, just as there is in the States really, but I think perhaps more so just because of the type of culture, but there's a huge, huge radio background to all voiceover work. And that still exists in the UK. There is still a very huge radio community, and voiceover as a separate entity is hasn't quite separated from that necessarily yet. It's just, you can still feel the very, very big radio culture in the UK. And, you know, and again, a lot of radio presenters and have gone into voiceover, etc. There's still the same, you know, death of the announcer. That's all very similar over here. I think what's very different is the agent scene over here, I would say. I mean, I had four agents in the States before I had one in the UK. And it's mainly because what happens in the UK is 99.9% of agents are in London. So they're all concentrated in a single spot. So if you want to get a UK agent, it's going to be a London agent because that's where all the work is. You have everybody in the country going to the single same group of voiceover agents. So it's not uncommon over here for it to take, you know, sort of five to 6 years just to get in a door with a UK agent and actually get someone in the UK to represent you, because you've got a larger group of people going to a much smaller group of agents. Whereas obviously in the States, you've got, you know, the 3,000 mile width of the country with agents, very much more geographical, and you can take them. So, I mean, I'm represented in Canada, Atlanta, and LA, and one other, and I can't remember. And I can do that because of that geographical division, whereas you don't get that in the UK. It's one space to go to.
It's fascinating. Now, let's talk a little bit about equipment, because Great Britain seems to have some different stuff. I mean, you have access to American equipment. Like, for instance, you've got a mic there that I recognize, the Sontronics thingamabob that you've got. And I recognize the mount, and it's this – it looks like a whiskey flask, as I recall.
Yes.
And it actually is. Oh, it actually is. All right.
That would be
you
nice.
Know how to, you know how to do this.
Long sessions.
But first off, tell us, you know, your chain and what you're using there.
Okay. So I'll put this on camera because it's that pretty.
Cool. Oh, excellent.
Here we go. The focus probably will be a bit off, but it's a very, it kind of alludes back to the radio kind of culture I was talking about. This reminds me of, you know, the old button mics, the 1950s style, but it's a gorgeous, the Suntronics Saturn is what this is called. And Suntronics is, as you say, Suntronics is a British company. They're all British design mics, British made. And they do a really wide range, sort of almost tailored to each gender, which is quite nice. I have a lot of female voiceover colleagues who use, I think it's called the Orpheus, which is a female specific mic. And that basically is just going up down. I've got a PSA 1 mic arm, which is, my booth is, you know, pretty much a square box like most people's, with a fixed shelf in the middle. So that Rode arm is fixed into my shelf, which just sits on a Lexicon IO22, just a little preamp where I can just use the just control the levels. And coming back to the question earlier about the listening in the direct monitor, so this has got a direct monitor jack for my headphones, and it's got that fader George was talking about to take the audio from the PC or the mic depending on how I need to use it, which as I've found really useful for Skype direction, so I can have 50% hearing me and 50% whoever's directing me, which is nice. And that basically just goes all the way down and outside of the booth into the main office to a Windows PC.
We don't hold it against you. It's all right. As long as it works for you.
It does work, thankfully, yeah. But I got I'm a huge, well, funnily enough, I'm a huge gamer, so my PC is
yes,
considerably. That would explain that.
Yeah. yes, the one thing they've got over Max is we can play games. So that's plugging into there. And I actually, as we were kind of just discussing, I actually still use Audacity for my software. And I've not had a reason yet to change from it. So that's the end of my trail.
Have you developed some tricks over the years on Audacity that you feel like if you were to leave Audacity behind, you would be missing out on those tricks? Or is it just a comfort level at this point, you think?
Yeah, I think it's both. I've now got, you know, I'm very quick with editing. I do quite a lot of e-learning and corporate as well. So my editing on that has become very, very quick. And I know you can do this in virtually any other piece of software, but I've created a lot of chains in Audacity. So I've got a standard set of effects and EQ and compression that I can apply with one click to a body of audio, which is really nice. It's that familiarity thing. You know, I've not yet found something I need to do that it doesn't do, so that I've kind of got no reason to leave yet. And 99% of everything I do is a single track, me just talking nonsense. So, you know, I don't really need anything more from it at this point.
Are you using the Nyquist plugins with it?
I am. Yes. I've got a million different plugins for it as well, which is always good fun to play with.
Yeah. Are you able to load all of those plugins into the chain?
I've had a problem with a few, but most of them I can get them to sit in the chains that I need. Yeah.
Yeah. The chain is pretty cool. I'm really glad that they added that feature. I mean, it's powerful.
Yeah, it was just, you know, I kind of was sat there one day thinking, why am I clicking, you know, equalize, then waiting 30 seconds, and then normalize, waiting, and compressing, and waiting. Well, I'd just do it with one click, yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. I mean, and that's why those are there. Of course, Audacity is very, very simple, which is obviously why you like it, and I think a lot of other people like it. But you understand that, you know, it's not supposed to be complex. Did you learn a lot of this as you were going along by yourself or by some of your coaches here in the US or in England?
Yeah, I think most of it is I did try others. You know, I've got Cubase, for example, came with the Lexicon. So I loaded up Cubase and thought, all right, excellent, I'll give this a go. And, you know, immediately you can tell it's more focused for multi-track work. And actually the noise filter on Audacity I found to be absolutely fantastic. Something I've not yet found in any of the others I've tried. But yeah, you know, I tried a few of the others, and they just didn't have that pick up and play that Audacity did. So I kind of left them really. And it was, I do a lot of video editing as well. I've done the occasional bit of mixing myself with, I don't know, recording a story with some sound effects in it. And Audacity did that, just kind of perfectly. And like you say, it's 99% of the time, it's just vocal audio. It's not complex. It doesn't need a lot of effect. It's dry corporate stuff or the studio that wants it just wants it raw audio anyway with nothing done to it.
Our discerning chat room has said that your levels still seem a little bit lower than me and Dan's.
Right.
Punch it up another 10% or so.
The lexicon does actually go up to 11.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, wow. I actually hear somebody over there now.
Beautiful. Hello.
Thank you. No, I love our chat room. They really, really care.
They really do. Because they're here to hear. No, I think everybody heard it. They were just...
It was just you were a little lower than we were.
Just a little lower than we are, because we're just booming out there. Let's see here.
Just letting some air in.
Good idea. Well, that's one of the things about a booth is you got to do that.
Yeah.
We can teach you how to build a ventilation unit for that.
I do need one, actually. It does get a bit hot in here in the summer.
Oh, well, it's real easy. But we'll talk another time on that. Your success in voiceover is fairly recent, but you say you get a lot of, the kind of emails that I get constantly. Hey, someone says someone says I have a great voice. Should I be in voiceover?
Yes. Yeah, I do. And it's nice. And I've been getting more and more of them, I guess, as I say this in the most humble way possible, but the bigger my profile has got, the more people have been getting in touch. I say this with no hint of a lie or cynicism. I genuinely love getting those emails because I remember how it felt when I first started. So I love nothing more than helping people out, to be honest, and to help them to avoid the same mistakes that I made. I love getting those emails. Absolutely love them.
Do you have like keyboard shortcuts that have boilerplate, or do you have a website that you direct them to, or what do you?
Yeah, I have an extensive coaching program at $1,000 per session.
Exactly. Direct everybody to.
I must admit, I used to write every single reply by hand, and I do still write a lot, straight by hand. But I do, I guess, for the first email reply, I tend to now have a chunk of text of my advice for getting started, which covers off a lot of the same stuff. And a lot of it, as we kind of were discussing before the show, was about the trying to get people a hint of the reality of doing voiceover. Because, I thought, you book jobs and you do silly voices and it's all very nice. But in the modern industry where you don't go into a studio a lot of the time to do your work and you're very much your own self-contained entity and business, 90% of it is is newsletters, is accounts, is chasing invoices, is editing audio, is keeping up with the latest trends and what's new in the world and where are the latest businesses and cold calling and
Twitter
and all of that stuff. And then 10 minutes of it is doing something behind the mic. So I kind of like to give people that dose of reality, and the fact is bloody hard work.
Yes. Finding yourself spending a lot of time on social media at all?
Yes. Yeah. Half half because I love it.
Leading the witness.
Half because I have to. Yeah. I'm always on Facebook and Twitter. Can't really stop myself.
Yeah, we noticed as we're watching all of my email, Twitter. Oh, I Jay's really helping us out tonight. We know a few Twitter junkies, but apparently you're one.
Yeah,
I've become one.
I'm a big proponent of it. I mean, I used to. Funnily enough, it kind of mirrored my general career path. I didn't use it very much in that kind of 2 years I was dabbling, and then when I pushed for it, I really started working on Twitter, and it has yielded results. I know people have very differing opinions of it, and I like to lump LinkedIn in here as well, because I have found LinkedIn to be a huge resource. I've literally connected with someone on LinkedIn, an hour later had a script in from them, and 2 hours later been paid from a LinkedIn connection. It's all about how you use it. It's like everything in VoiceOver. It's about what you do with that tool that really determines what you get out of it, is what I've found with everything, you know, pay-to-play sites and social media and everything. It's the way in which you use it determines what you get out from it. And LinkedIn, I'm now connected to the previous audio director of Rockstar Games, for your viewers who perhaps don't know what they've bought out, but they're all of the Grand Theft Auto games and Red Dead Redemption, you know, huge, huge gaming studio. And within 5 minutes of connecting, we were trading messages about my demos, and I've just worked with him last week. So
that's great. You know,
it's really a good avenue. And Twitter, connecting with some fantastic people. I think that's how I initially started talking with Rob Paulson, actually, was through Twitter. And I remember sort of crying in my bedroom one night because he followed me back, and I was so happy.
We can't get him to follow us. We want to get him on this show. And he's like,
I'll send him a text. I'll say, come on.
If you would. We're not dangerous.
I'll say, come on, Rob, sort it out. Yeah. But yes, and it's a really good way of building the connections. And again, through Twitter, I've met people that have then booked me for work and repeat work. But if you're going to spend all day on it tweeting, you know, cat memes and just funny pictures, then you're not going to get very much out of it.
Or trolling, which apparently is a big problem. Yeah. Trolling. So you got a really amazing lead through Twitter that sent you back over here on our side of the pond. You got to share everybody a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I have to again give thanks to my wife, because I've been over to the States 3 times this year and left her behind every time looking after our 2-year-old. So yeah, so I was out in LA in April, and then August, a solitary tweet that just, it was something really innocuous, like, do you have a dream? Casting for a documentary, you know, getting, it was something really kind of, didn't really tell you very much. Oh, well, yeah, I've got a dream. I kind of want to do this voiceover thing. So I tweeted back, and they said, you know, great, here's our email, send us your story. So I sent that off, went to a casting interview, and over the next couple of weeks, it turned out that they wanted to book me, and they flew me across the pond to San Francisco to do a mini sort of documentary with Ford, it turned out to be. And they had me driving around San Francisco in the 2015 Ford Mustang brand. I think at that point it was a prototype car. And they basically, it was all about my dreams as a voice artist, and why was I chasing my dreams, and what did it mean to me, and what was the inspiration. And then driving just somewhere around San Francisco, they dropped it on me that they'd arranged an audition at a huge studio, very well-known studio called Tippett Studios in San Francisco, who do a lot of special effects work on like Jurassic Park and Star Wars and, you know, huge films. And they were producing a new series. So they said, right, well, in about half an hour, you're going to be in their studios having an audition. at which point I nearly plowed into the car that I was following. And then that afternoon I was in the studio working with the guys at Tippett. And I think the next day I was sort of driving on closed off streets in San Francisco with police escorts. And very bizarre.
Can we share this little video clip of you in the audition? Absolutely. Check this
out. Let's see that.
Hey, how's it going?
Jay.
How's it going? Jay, Corey, nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you.
Have a seat.
Thank you.
What we're going to do today is have you look at those characters. I've written some dialogue for them and some character descriptions and things. Perfect, perfect. Okay, can we go to the next one, please? This is an escape plan.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna get you out of here. You'll see. What? One step at a time. Shh, shh.
Good. Can you do a French accent?
That's the last time you pull a stunt like that again.
A Cockney.
Oh, great. I'd like that.
And just having these characters put up in front and just go was amazing. I think 90% of us possibly suffer with not following our passions. I didn't want my son to look to his father and see a man who spent 40 years doing a job, earning a steady paycheck, but that wasn't his passion. I was determined that wouldn't be the example I set for my son.
Wow, dude, that is fantastic.
Wow.
That was, I must admit, I kind of get goosebumps whenever I see it, because it reminds me of how crazy it was.
Wow. That's really, really cool. Well, if anybody's got... Yeah, from one tweet. Everyone remember that, from one tweet. If anybody's got a question for Jay, about anything, all you have to do is in the chat room. You can type it in there. And our monitor in the chat room tonight is the lovely and talented Shelley Avellino, who's sitting in for the ailing Anthony Gettig, who had some sort of – everything's going around. You know, got to get your flu shots, kids. You know, make sure you don't get sick. But Shelley's doing a great job of getting those questions in there, so feel free to ask in there. And we'll have a little bit more with Jay in just a second. But first, we have to talk about somebody who's been with us for 170 episodes, the one and only Harlan Hogan and voiceoveressentials.com, because he's got everything you need for voiceover. All you have to do is go to the site, and you can go to the site, by the way, if you just go to the bottom of the EWABS page and you click on Harlan's picture there, it'll take you right to voiceoveressentials.com, and he'll know that you came from us, which, of course, we want to do, so he knows that you're hearing our message to you about the great stuff he has over at voiceoveressentials.com. And it being the holiday season, you know, you want this stuff if you're a voice actor, so make sure you tell your spouse that if you want voice actor stuff, to go over to voiceoveressentials.com, because he's got great stuff, great selection of things, of things that you could use in your voiceover studio, and of course at great prices. But number one, he has great customer service. He takes care of his people, doesn't he, George?
He certainly does. And one of the products that he's come out with recently, which you wouldn't think needed to be invented or marketed so much, but it's funny, there just isn't really a lot of good shotgun shock mounts that don't cost a fortune, and he's got his own shock mount for shotgun mics, and it's right there on the page, and it's very, very affordable at $30. So if you're putting together an on the go rig, or even for your home studio, and you need something affordable and easy and lightweight to use, for $29.95, this thing is a great deal. It'll work with any small microphone, like a shotgun mic. It'll even work with some of the smaller large diaphragm mics as well. Anything up to 54 millimeters.
Wow!
So it's a very versatile product, and it works great with a 416, or works great with a 875R, or any and again any of the smaller bodied microphones it'll work with. So really cool. I just love that he cherry picks and finds just problem solving pieces like that. Not everything is an expensive, elaborate device. Some of them are just the simplest problem solvers. Very cool.
Absolutely. So Harlan, thanks for being our sponsor, and everybody go over there and get at least one thing for the holidays. If not for someone gets it for you, get it for yourself.
That's right.
Voiceoveressentials.com, because it's just a great place. Not exactly his tagline, but I figured I'd throw that in there. Well, we're back here on East West Audio Body Shop, and our guest is Jay Britton, who is obviously a very talented guy, because you're hitting it. You're hitting it on all cylinders here. Maybe not tonight with your voice and everything, but
no, you're hanging in there, hanging tough, buddy. We really appreciate
that.
Yeah, God,
we've got some questions from the audience. A lot of these have already been addressed. Tremaine Kendrick Mosley has a great question. I was thinking about asking this as well. I find, and we have a lot of actors here in the U.S. who are from the U.K. or from Australia or New Zealand, who are, you cannot tell they're from there when they're doing an American accent. Mm. Now, already I've had a few comments on my English accent from the Peanut Gallery.
Oh, heck yeah.
People don't like my English accents, but...
Sutter off.
I'm saying nothing.
Yes. Can you do you do an American accent, and how is it that the Brits are much better at doing Americans than we are at doing British?
Well, Dan, I think that's a very good question. I won't do it for the rest of the answer. Okay. I think I think I do an American. And one of the first the first jobs I got booked for actually was a guy who thought I was an American putting on a British voice, and he told me I sounded too posh, which I thought was which was very nice of him. But I think bizarrely, I find this with a lot of the accent work that I do. I think it's because the British accent, especially mine, which is very, very neutral as far as English goes, it gives you a neutral base plate. So there's not, you know, it gives you a lot. It's a lot easier to move to other sounds because you're coming from a very neutral place. You know, the biggest thing for the American accent is the R, the way in which you guys treat your R's compared to what we do with our R's. And your A's as well. I was doing something this morning in American where I was saying talking Angela, and you'd say Angela, whereas I'd say Angela with sort of an ER on it. So it's all those tiny little nuances. And I think, yeah, having a British accent is so much more neutral. It's it's easier to move it around, I think.
All right. Michael Blaha asks, how did you go about fetching your first voiceover gigs?
Ooh, my first voiceover gigs. And like I say, yeah, everything's got its place. My first voiceover gig was from Voice 123. Even with that sort of the not up to scratch demo that I initially had, it was a it was a corporate gig for a technology company. I think it actually paid an okay amount of money. And I still think, you know, pay to plays. They're what I always call, they're one arrow in a quiver. You know, I have lots of different ways that I get business, and pay-to-play is one of them. But it's the way in which I use it that makes it worth my time. And I know, again, it's a very polarizing thing, pay-to-play sites, but I've had very good, very well-paying gigs through them, and I don't kind of mess around with any low-balling or very badly paid gigs. So I think especially when you're first starting out and you just need to get some money perhaps to be able to invest in a home studio or really, really good demos, they're not a bad place to start. So yeah, Voice 123 was where I got my very, very first gig.
Me too.
Well,
wow, there we are.
Yes. Yeah, so I came out of radio, so there was a lot of other gigs in between there. Basil Sands asks, does Jay do audiobooks as well as animation? Have you done any audiobooks?
I haven't, but I think I might have to, which is an odd thing to say. I don't know if I've got the stamina for audiobooks. I love my character work, but it's character work is very sort of very quick and rapid. And I don't know if I've got the stamina for audiobooks, but when we finished up at the Voice Arts Awards in November, when the ceremony finished up and I came outside, there was a lot of audiobook publishers. And I don't know if it was just because I was a Brit in New York. They were like, oh, a British voice, we'll try and grab him. A lot of audiobooks has been mentioned to me for my voice more than once. And I am going to give it a go when I'm finally not ill anymore. but we'll see if I can cope with the stamina, because it's not an easy gig. Audiobooks, absolutely, definitely not.
Absolutely. Devox asks, so, and I think you sort of mentioned this, but maybe you can give us a little bit. How much did you spend on going to LA lessons and demos? It could not have been cheap.
No, absolutely not. And I have no qualms saying how much it was, including flights and hotel and everything, you know, an all-in price. And the three demos I had done, this doesn't include all of the Nancy Wilson coaching, but it includes all of the Richard Horvitz coaching, Rob Paulson, three demos, flights, hotels, everything in US money, about $10,000.
Sounds maybe about a little right.
Bit. Yeah, it was about £6,000, I spent, which again, you know, it sounds a lot, but comparative to what you could spend starting other professions, you know, it's nothing.
I'm paying my wife's student loans, for photography school. For the rest of my life. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sounds like you've gotten a return on the investment, though.
Yeah, I have. And the thing is, as well, it's you know, I'll be very upfront about it. I didn't have $6,000. I absolutely didn't. I just was fortunate enough that I had a credit card that had $6,000 space on it. So it all went on a credit card. I wasn't lucky to have money to put it up front. I just went, it's a risk, and I went for it. So $6,000 straight on the credit card, which thankfully I have earned back.
Brilliant.
That was a good leap of faith on your part. Jody Gottlieb, who apparently has turned into an EWABS groupie here.
Yeah.
She's on the show once. Now we can't get rid of her.
Converted a guest into a groupie.
All right. Yeah. She asks, have you had any acting training? I mean, we talked about the voiceover coach training, but have you had any on stage experience or film work or any you know actor training or classes back in the UK?
Yes. So specifically actor training, probably not. What I have got, though, is how old am I? 30. So I've got about 15 years of stage experience. So when I was in school, I was always in the choir and then in bands and then sort of plays and musical theatre. And then when I left school and college, I joined a theatre company and did a lot of musical theatre. And I was still in a very, very bad band, but I was in one. And I was when I was at college, I classically trained as a singer. So I do have a big performance background, which again is something is one of my pieces of advice to anyone that wants to get started in voice acting, is I always turn it the other way around. It's not called voice acting. It's called acting with your voice. Because it is first and foremost, it is acting and harder in some ways because you have no body with which to show the emotion. So performance background is a great thing. You know, go and do, I was just in London this weekend doing some ADR work. So dialogue replacement. And a lot of that requires improv. You know, just come up, we need this guy to say something here for 4 seconds. It's 1950s England in the North, go. So immediately you have to come up with some improv, know the era of time and be able to do a Northern accent, you know, from sort of Yorkshire in England, which is a bit more like this. So having an improv background is fantastic, as is for character stuff. It all helps. So, yeah, performance background, if you've not got one, go and grab some. So, yes, in short, in a long answer to a short question, yes, I have done some theatre.
You would think you would be more concise with your voice being so.
You think.
But you, like you said, you can't stop talking. You're a voice actor. Stephen Gonzalez, VO. he says, what about performing other British accents? Which is funny. You just happened to mention that. Yorkshire, Bath, South London, Glasgow, etc. Has he had a call for those? Sounds like you have.
Yeah, I've done a lot of, funnily enough, I do quite a lot of Scottish. Scottish is one I do. I quite like Scottish, actually. It's one of my favorite accents. I did do a YouTube video once called UK Accents Challenge, where I improv going from the southwest all the way up through London and
cool.
up to the north. It's great fun. I mean, there's not a lot of call for that from the States that I work with, because, you know, the accents just aren't as well known over there.
Right.
But in the UK, certainly I get asked for example, the Yorkshire sound that I just did is used quite a lot if they want a friendly sound. You know, northern sounds in the UK are very often associated with being friendly. So yeah, it's very useful to have, to do UK accents. And who was it? The work I did with the guy from Rockstar, he needed a Cockney as well. So he said, you know, I need your straight English and then a Cockney version as well. So yeah, again, you know, it's more arrows in your quiver, especially if you want to do character work, because it can be quite brutal in terms of very quickly having to go, give me this. Okay, now give me this. No, now I need this one. I mean, like that Ford video shows, you know, he goes, can you do Cockney? Okay, can you make him French? And you kind of just have to be able to go with that. So yeah, a lot of UK accent work. Yep.
All righty. We've got a couple more questions. We don't want to keep you too late or too early now for you. But we appreciate
you. I'm adrenaline
now. Oh, that's good. But yeah, we don't want you blowing out your voice here. Shelley Avellino asks, have you or will you use IPDTL? And how does it work across the pond, seeing as that's where it's coming from? Have you used IPDTL?
I have, yes. I've not used it a lot because 9 times out of 10 I use a phone patch or Skype. I've used it. It's very, very good. I've not used it with the States, so I can't comment on cross-Atlantic performance. I have used Source Connect for talking across the pond, and that has worked fantastically, I must admit. My commercial demo was recorded from this booth with Nancy Wolfson in LA via Source Connect, and that was flawless. But I've not yet used IPTTL across that kind of range. I'd kind of be inclined to say with what Source Connect offers for free, the bit rates that they'll offer for free through Chrome, you may as well just go with Source Connect, because I have no opinion on IPDTL across that range.
Sure.
But yeah, it's very good. Used it in the UK quite a bit.
They're all tools. All right. They're all tools for your toolbox.
Right. You got to have them in there. Lee Penny gets the final question, and this is actually a really good question. A good one to send you off on. Being behind the curve, admittedly, for this thing in San Francisco, what was the tweet?
So the tweet was from a casting company in London that basically said, I should have printed it and framed it, but it was something like, do you have a dream casting for a documentary? And that was it. To which I replied, yes, I'd like to be a voice actor in Pixar movies, please. And then it went from there. So that was it. That's something that small. So yeah, go on Twitter and follow all the casting companies. There's an article doing the rounds about the top 12 casting directors to follow on Twitter. Hunt out all these people and follow them on Twitter, because you never know when that random tweet will come up with something that you can comment on or make a connection through, or is just going to be useful info.
Well, Jay, I've been looking forward to it, and George and I have both been looking forward to this all week, knowing that you were going to be on, because unique having somebody from England who's stayed up to be on this show. And now we know you're going to stay up every Monday night or Tuesday morning to watch the show, because now you're hooked on it too.
I am. I've already told the wife, forget Tuesdays. I'll be of no use to anybody.
There you go. All right. Thanks so much for being with us, and good luck with your career. And I have a sneaking suspicion we will have you on again another time, and we will run into each other probably in LA or somewhere.
Maybe on an international round table.
Ooh.
I think that'd be cool.
That sounds good. And
let me write that one down.
Round and obviously, a thank you to you guys and all your viewers as well. Absolutely humbled and honored to be asked on. So thank you to you guys.
Our pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, we're going to take a quick break here, and got to tell you a little bit more about VoiceAmp. So we'll be right back after this.
We all agree that iTunes is one of the best ways to listen to music. Well, what if your voiceover demos could be presented the exact same way, where each clip inside your demo is listed as a clickable, playable track? Well, now you can, if your demo is presented with the interactive demo player only from VoiceAmp. In VoiceAmp, each track inside your demo is clearly titled for producers to view, select, and play. Now, we all know that producers will only listen to the first few tracks of your demos, right? But not on VoiceAmp. With VoiceAmp, producers can interact with your demo, clicking on what they want to hear. They'll stay longer, listening to all your voice work because they want to. Plus, with VoiceAmp's exclusive Xamtistics, you'll know exactly what they listen to, when, and for how long. So why not? We all agree that iTunes is one of...
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
And now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
Well, not so much tonight, but by the way, Bob Merkel over at VoiceAmp wants to remind all of you that if you want to try out VoiceAmp, just put in the code EWABS when you're signing up. There's a discount there. We definitely have a great deal for you there, so make sure you let him know that you heard about VoiceAmp on this very show. Try it out. I've been using it. It works great. It's a really interesting way to present your demo across a number of different platforms. And, of course, we announced last week the voiceover.biz site that we're going to be using at Wovo for WoWO professional members only, is the player on that is going to be Voice Sam. So
very nice.
Definitely, you know, join WoWO and you'll get to see what Voice Sam is like. And then you're just going to want to buy it anyway.
What a cool niche product for our industry. I mean, I love it to see these things get developed and put into use and finding a problem that, you know, maybe some people didn't know the problem existed. But, you know, a good invention is when you find a solution to a problem people didn't know they had. And then once you've put it out there, people find they can't live without it. Like That's the true. iPad, for example. Who knew they needed iPads? But who doesn't one?
I'm starting to realize I don't need an iPad.
Well, it's okay because you've already bought one, so it doesn't matter.
That's right. I got two sitting around the house right now. Right. Anyway, that was great having Jay on. He was, and it was great of him to come on. You know, not feeling all that well, and at 3 a.m.
Yeah, so man, what a double whammy! Yeah, all night.
So he can blame the decline in his career to us, at least for tomorrow. Anyway, time for a few announcements. Of course, thanks to our donors of the week. Eric Aragone, who just never misses.
Just sit back and relax. It's time for some announcements.
Man, you are really sharp tonight.
I am on it.
Okay. Anyway, Eric Aragone, Carl Gerhardt, the amazing Leslie Diamond, Andy Kaufman, C3M Productions, Jack DeGoliat. Jack, why do you keep giving us money? You're doing all this work for us.
Oh, man.
Brian Roush. We really appreciate it. You can donate to the show. We have to pay for the Ustream. We've got to pay for bandwidth, upgrading the equipment. When I come to Southern California, we're going to make some upgrades and a couple of things. This thing is going to be better than Twit.
Yeah, we're really excited. Lee is totally going to
chomping at the bit.
Lee is going to pimp our studio, man.
that's going to be really good.
Yeah.
We want this show to be the best for you guys, and we really appreciate your help. So if you right above my head here, if I look at this properly, right above George's little head there in the corner, there's a donate button right underneath our logo. You'll notice I'm dressed what I actually look like on the logo tonight.
I know. Me too, almost, actually. I'm wearing a blue shirt.
I know.
Anthony Gettig, actually, who's been loyally taking care of our chat room, is actually going to step down for a while. Family calls. You know, he really needs some downtime. The family is calling, and he's got a heck of a family. We know he's got a big family.
Yes, he does.
So he's going to be leaving a hole there for a while, and we don't know who's going to fill it yet. But tonight, I'll tell you, Shelley, you did a good job. You're hired.
She did.
You're hired.
She stepped right in.
Well, we'll see. But she stepped right in. But thank you, Anthony, for doing what you've done.
He's been great.
To monitor the chat room. It's been fantastic. And
yes.
NarratorHelper.com, proofing, editing, and mastering for narrators. That's my wife's little business. And if you need help with audiobook production, she's got it down and it has a really good system so that you'll be efficient. So.
Absolutely.
Oh, and more importantly, if you're not really ready to start a book, she'll let you know. She's not going to let you start into a project that you're not prepared to start and then have a miserable experience. Okay? Because she dealt with that over the weekend with somebody, and hopefully she'll be working that particular talent will work with me to get up to speed. But, you know, she's not going to lead you down the path if you're not ready.
That's good to hear. Our show logs, every last word that we say is written by Jack DeGoliat and put in our show log. Well, not every word, but if you really want to know, if you want to go back and check an episode out and see exactly where things are, you know, they're right there with our YouTube videos. And they're in the top
of the website. Yeah. Like if you click on show logs in the upper right-hand corner of our page,
that's
a searchable thing. You can go in there and search through all our web logs. I mean, it's an incredible resource, something that took us a while to catch up on. But thanks to Jack, we've got a lot of those shows logged.
He does. Next week, in honor of Christmas and Hanukkah, because it'll still be Hanukkah.
When did Hanukkah start?
Starts tomorrow night.
Tomorrow
night at sundown.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems to be coming very early this time of year.
It certainly four, does.
4:15, it's dark out. What happened?
4:15, wow.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Well, you are further north, yeah.
We're further north. But I hear it, you know, I can't wait to get out west and see, you know, it's like the days are the same length all the time. And it's always sunny. But we will not be on next week. But hey, you know, you got 170 episodes. If you've missed one, you could like spend Monday night and just watch an old episode. You could like watch several. You can do an EWABS marathon.
Yeah, and if you subscribe to us on Twitter, you'll notice that we've got some tweets of our classic episodes. So right. You can jump on our Twitter feed at EWABS_show and look down the list. You'll find a whole selection of classic EWABS going all the way back to, I think, number one that you can peruse through for a chuckle.
Yeah, all righty. And on the 29th of December, we're going to be doing our annual, this is one of our favorite things to do, our best of show. We've had some great times this year. Since we did this last year. We had some great guests last year. We've had some fabulous guests this year with a lot of great information, great interaction with you, our audience. And if there is something specific that you remember that you want to see, we have a log. We have a spot right here. Right below us here, you did a great job putting this page together. It's just like everything is like right there.
One page, one stop shop. Yeah,
right. Just fill out the form there. I go through back some of the YouTube videos, and was there something specific or a guest that you saw that you thought was a really key moment to the year? Put it down there, and we will put that on our best of show, which will be on the 29th. Let's see here. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/EWABS show with two S's. How'd you manage that one? Also, our podcast version is on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, and ewabs.podbean.com.
And wherever you tune into a podcast, type in EWABS, you'll find us.
We're there. Also, our sponsors, of course, the amazing Harlan Hogan and VoiceOver Extra and Edge Studio and VoiceZam for providing uninterrupted live stream and bandwidth. And apparently it was pretty clear tonight.
Yay.
I'm amazed that we were able to talk to Jay and it was like he was in the same room with us. There was like almost no delay between here and Great Britain.
Very low delay, no frame drops and freezes and stutters. And yeah, it was just fantastic.
Absolutely. Well, that's going to do it for us, really, for, I guess,
the end of the year.
The end of the year. I mean, we'll be on the 29th. Well, I mean, we'll probably do that show live like we always do anyway. But you know, everyone here in the Leonard household wishes all of you a very happy holiday season. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and lots of food and having a great time. And I got to thank you guys for just sticking with us through all this time and just making the show just a pleasure to do every Monday night.
Indeed. I thank you, Dan, for keeping the show moving along and keeping it fun and light and keeping the guests interviewed so I don't have to do it. And I hope you guys have a wonderful time with your family. Your last Hanukkah in New York.
Ooh, but next year I'll be spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica.
That's right. You get to do a video. Video from here.
My wife knows that song much better than I do. I'm spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica.
I don't even. I have to look that one up.
What's his name? Dennis Leary. Not Dennis Leary. Tom Leary. Tom Leary. Tom Leary. Dennis Leary. Yeah, I'm spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh, we need to thank the wives,
mm-hmm.
because without them, this wouldn't happen, you know, and who else would be cleaning up the paint out in your living room?
Thanks to Pfeffernuss.
Pfeffernuss? What is Pfeffernuss?
You ever had these little cookies? They're sugar-coated, German sugar-coated spice cookies.
I probably have at one time or
another. Oh, yes. Pfeffernuss. Sorry, anyway. What were you saying?
Okay, we're thanking our wives for putting up with this for the most part. For all this time.
In limits.
Yeah, we'll show them our appreciation. Kathy Curran, our wonderful producer, gets us great guests like Jay Britton. How does she do
that? That was all her.
Yes. Shelley Avellino, of course, for filling in the in the chat room tonight, and she's going to take that over for the time being, and we're looking forward to that. Jack DeGolia for his help, of course, on the show notes. Tim McKean for the EWABS Essentials, which I see is actually growing in number, so make sure you check those out on YouTube as well. And Lee Penny, of course, helping us out with the podcast. He keeps saying he can't do it anymore, yet he keeps doing
now,
it.
Now he sees how popular the podcast is.
That's right.
I mean, he checks the stats, and he's like, holy cow, man, there's people listening to this all over the world. I better keep doing this.
That's right.
That's why we do it. So
right. Anyway, so happy holidays. Merry Christmas, and we will see you on the 29th. And I'm Dan Leonard, still in the East.
I'm George Wood. I'm out here in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Take care, everybody. Happy holidays.
Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas.